Brother Tom, thank you so much for that. Why doesn't this guy sing more often like that for us? Wow, what a blessing. Throughout this month, we're going to focus our thoughts on the subject of evangelism and reaching souls for Christ. That's going to be the theme of our time that we have together. I wanted to start today by asking you a few questions about the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning Jesus, questions that, according to the Bible, tell us what Jesus did when he was on this earth. You can fill these in any way that you want if you're using your program there, but what are some of the things that you remember that Jesus did when he was here on earth in his earthly ministry? Do you remember some of those things? What did he do? How about he fed the poor or the hungry? He fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He restored sanity where people had lost their minds. He raised the dead. You remember the occasion of the raising of Lazarus? Jesus prayed to the Father. He spent whole nights in prayer and days in prayer. He taught the Scriptures, went about teaching the Scriptures. And he saved the lost. And all through this month, I want to focus our thoughts on that last part of Jesus' ministry. He saved the lost. Here are some scriptures that tell us the same thing, that teach us that. I'm reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 21. It says, before Jesus was born, the Bible says, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Jesus saves the lost. Matthew 18:11, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." So the Bible tells us in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus came to save the lost. I'm reading at the conclusion of the Gospel of Matthew, after Jesus died on the cross, when he had been raised from the dead, he spoke to those who were his followers, and he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations to lead them to Christ, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth." Again, in Luke's record of that, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "And you," Jesus said, "and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." We realize the importance of worship, and how important worship is. But without salvation, there are no worshipers. And so Jesus went to find those who were lost, and he brought them to truth and the light that changed their lives now and forever. Back a few years ago, I was in a church, and I gave them a little survey. And I wish I had one to give out to you today. I'd be curious as to how you would do this. And we took all of those things that we mentioned a moment ago, the things that Jesus did while he was on earth. He fed the hungry, he healed the sick, he spent time in prayer, he taught the Scriptures, he preached the Word, and all of those things, and he saved the lost. And I asked them this simple question, and you may want to do it quickly in your mind. I said, "Why don't you just put these in order as to their importance as you see them? What do you think was the first thing that Jesus did? What is the second thing that he did, and the third thing, and so on down?" Well, when I got the survey back, I was really surprised, because according to that church, the most important things that Jesus did were to feed the hungry and to visit the elderly and to preach the Word. And the last thing on their list as a church, as an average in how they thought about it, the last thing on their list was to save the lost. Now, would you believe this? That their pastor search committee went out and found a man who had saving the lost last on his list, and they brought him back to the church to approve as their pastor, and they did. A sad story, it's true. But I'm not surprised. You see, the question is, how do we keep the main thing the main thing? How do we keep what Jesus went about doing the main thing in our lives and in our church? The first thing that Jesus instructed his followers when he met them, and especially we remember the names of some of them, they stand out in Scripture to us, followers like Andrew, when he met them along the Sea of Galilee. Andrew was a fisherman, and when Jesus told him the truth and invited him to follow him, immediately the Scripture says Andrew went and found his brother, and he brought him to Jesus. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out what's the main thing with Jesus and the main thing with people who come to follow Jesus. It's sharing the good news, the hope and joy of Jesus with others. On another occasion, Jesus went to a village, and he met a stranger, a woman, and in conversation with her, he told her who he was and invited her to follow him. She ran back to her village, and she brought the whole town out to follow Jesus. That was the main thing, to know Jesus, to follow him. The beginning of discipleship 101 is making disciples, teaching people, sharing with people the hope and joy of Jesus. Many, many years ago, I listened to Billy Hanks, who was one of the members of the Billy Graham Crusade team at the time, and Billy was telling us this hypothetical story. Hypothetical means it's kind of like a parable. It wasn't true, but it could have been true. But so he was telling this story, and in the story he said, you know, there was a pastor of one of the mega churches. That's the big churches that have thousands of members. And this pastor of the mega church called up a pastor of a small church one day. It would be like Big Spring, maybe. And I get this phone call and from the pastor of the large, large church. And he said, Pastor, I have two men who are members of my congregation, and they're being transferred out of my city and away from my church. They're going to come to your town. They're going to come to Cleveland. And because of the unusual ministry that these men have had in my church, I thought it would be a good idea that one of those men would join one church and one would join another, and I call you and let you choose the first one. Which one would you like me to send to your church? And the pastor, I would be interested. I'm sure you'd say, well, Pastor, what did you say? Well, I said, well, tell me about them. He said, well, let me tell you about the first man. His name is Bill. And he said, I met Bill over 10 years ago. I remember him one Sunday morning when I gave the invitation. Bill came walking down the aisle, and he had a friend with him, and he said, Pastor, I just brought my friend today to church, and I've been telling him about Jesus, and I want him to know what Jesus means and how he's changed my life, and he said, my friend wants to follow Jesus. And so the pastor said, I was excited about that. He said, you know, that was exciting enough. You know, it's not every day that a man or woman or a boy or girl in the church will bring someone to me and say, well, this person wants to follow Jesus. And so he said, I was excited about that. But he said, imagine my surprise when the next Sunday morning, here comes Bill back down the aisle again. He's got another person with him. And he said, I couldn't wait to talk to him. And the fellow said, Bill said, well, this man, I brought him with me. I told him about Jesus, and he wants to follow Jesus, and he wants to be baptized. And so he said, I was excited about that. He said, well, guess what? The next week, and the next week, and the next week, and the next week, for one whole year, every Sunday, Bill would come down the aisle, and he would have with him someone that he had told about Jesus. And that year, he brought 52 people who came and followed Jesus, and they were baptized. He said, boy, I was excited, but that wasn't all. He said, that kept going for 10 years. 520 people he brought into our church. Pastor Phillips, would you like for him to be a member over at Big Spring Church? What should I say? Yes? Well, he was a little bit wiser than I was, or would be. And he said, well, Pastor, this sounds great to me. We could sure use somebody like Bill at Big Spring who would do something like that. But by the way, tell me about the other member that you were thinking about. He said, oh, well, his name is Tom. And you see, Tom, the interesting thing was that Tom, the very Sunday that Bill came down, Tom came down the aisle, and he had a friend with him. He said, Pastor, I brought my friend today, and he wants to accept Jesus. He wants to follow him. And I was so excited. He said, in fact, the next Sunday, I looked up, and Tom was sitting right down behind the children's choir congregation. You know, he was right in the front rows. His friend was with him there. And I came back on Sunday night, the pastor said, and there was Tom sitting there. His friend was with him. They were at Sunday night worship. Wednesday night, he was at a prayer meeting, and his friend was there. And he said, you know, this just kept right on going. He said, a few days later, the pastor said, I was walking down the hall in the office area, and I overheard the conversation, and it was Tom's friend that he had brought to church. And he said, I want some of them there tithing envelopes. And he said, I couldn't refuse that. Couldn't miss that. I went out, and I said, wait a minute. He said, who told you about that? The man said, well, Tom told me about the tithe. And he said, I want tithing envelopes. He said, well, that's wonderful. And the man was baptized. He was coming to all the events in the church. And he said, 6 months passed, and one Sunday morning, while Bill was bringing one after another down the aisle every week, here comes Tom back down the aisle, has a new friend with him, and right behind him is his old friend that he had led to the Lord, and he's got a new friend with him. Each one of them said, well, we've told these people about Jesus, and they want to follow him. He said, here's the amazing thing. He says, you're not going to believe this, but over the years that passed, in the next 10 years, Tom and that one person that he would bring on a Sunday morning and spend 6 months, you know, teaching and training and having them do everything that he was doing, says, do you know how many people they brought into our church? 59,049 people. Now, which one did you say that you want to come to Big Spring? Now, that's, you know, it's a hypothetical story, allegory, parable. You get the point, though, don't you? Do you see the significance of the strategy that Jesus gave to his disciples? Each one, reach one. Each one, disciple one. You shall go and make disciples. And everything that you know about Jesus, you pass it on to someone else. Each one, reach one. Make disciples. Teach that person to share their joy in Jesus with someone else. Disciple them the way you have been discipled. You see, biblical truth, the truth of Jesus, is transitional truth. That is, it has to be simple enough that you can pass it from one person to another. And I think I can wrap my head around this, that all that I need to do is just each one reach one. Now, you can be a Bill and every week bring someone, or you can be a Tom and bring someone and take 6 months of your time and disciple that person, make them the same kind of follower of Christ that you are, and in a period of 10 years, you will have 59,049 others that are like you. It's a simple plan that Jesus gave to his disciples. I want to tell you one more story before we wrap this together today in explaining what Scripture is saying. Jesus came to seek those who are lost. I call it the Four Spiritual Laws booklet. In fact, I have one of these here with me. It's an old yellow booklet that years ago we used to have these available quite often. We have others like them now. And I want to go back. Let me just go back a little bit here and say this to you. I did not grow up in an evangelistic church. That is, I don't recall my pastors in the 15 or more years that I was a member of the Welford Baptist Church. I don't recall any one of my pastors ever explaining to us how to, or even that we should, share the hope and joy of Jesus with others. I read that, I knew that, but no one really ever taught me that. And growing up in Welford Baptist Church, I don't think I ever saw a gospel tract, a little pamphlet or booklet that or anything. We used the Sunday school quarterlies, and we used our daily Bible readings and things of that nature. But I just never saw anything like that. And so consequently, I sort of had a prejudice in my about using tracts, people passing out, handing out tracts or talking, you know, putting things like that around. And I just didn't do anything like that. And I struggled as a teenager and a young Christian. I struggled as a young adult. Even when I went to a Baptist college, and none of my professors ever taught me how to share my faith in Christ. Not one. Tom, did they ever tell you? And they did. Well, you were blessed. I didn't. Our Baptist college quit being Baptist after that, too. So, and then I went to a Baptist seminary, and they really didn't teach us how to do that. I mean, yes, you know, we might have had an hour or session. That was it. And I just really struggled with that. I didn't know, how do you share your faith? I was uncomfortable trying to tell other people about Jesus, and I looked for some way to do that. I was married by then. I was pastoring a church. God had blessed. We saw people saved, and as many as 20, 24 people 1 year were baptized. Most of them adults, and God was working. But it's just a struggle. And I wonder, how can you do this? And so we decided to start over. And we started with 10 people, and we were talking to these 10 people and trying to tell them about Jesus and starting a little church where we were. And my wife one day said to me, pray for me. I'm going to go talk to Loretta. And I said, sure, I'll pray for you. And I think I did say, Lord, bless Loretta, bless them, you know, something like that. And a few minutes later, the phone rings at our home, and I pick up the phone. My wife is crying. Loretta is crying. And she says, Loretta just prayed to receive Christ and wants to be a Christian, wants Jesus to change her life. I said, hold everything. Let me get down there. I didn't want her to mess up anything, you know, I mean. So I go down there, and here they are just squalling away, so happy in Jesus, you know. And on the way home, I said, well, what did you do? She said, well, I read this little booklet to Loretta, and she prayed to ask Jesus to come in her heart. And I said, well, that's interesting. And so about a week or two later, my wife said, would you pray for me? I want to go talk to Helen. This time I said, I sure will. And I really stopped, and I said, Lord, you know, bless them and bless Helen and help her to listen to what your word has to say. And sure enough, the phone rings. My wife's crying. Helen's crying. And this time I just said, well, you don't need me. Just tell her we're having prayer meeting tonight and she can come forward and share what she's decided about Jesus. And she did. And to my knowledge, both those women, one of them particularly, is still in church today, works in the preschool, and it's been over 40, 50 years since that happened, you know. My wife came in, I said, what did you do? She said, I read that little booklet. I said, okay. A few weeks after that, you pardon me for making this a long story, but a few weeks later, I read that there was going to be a seminar, a training session to teach people how to share their faith in Jesus. I told the church people, I said, you got to go. You need to go to this. We need to learn how to do this. You know, that's what Jesus told us to do. Go and make disciples. And they weren't doing that. And it was hard for me to do that. So here's a way to do it. How to share your faith. And so we took about 20 folks over to Dayton, Ohio, not Tennessee. And we sat there, and they were, and this person started reading, and they have a PowerPoint. They're showing us a little yellow booklet like this, and you just read this to people, step one, step two, step three, step four, and ask them if these words express what they believe in their heart. You see, salvation and change and new life is not what you and I do. It's what God is doing in the lives of people. And so many times we don't know what God is doing. We never find out because we never ask. And God works through others, or sadly, maybe it, what God has planted does not come to fruit. And so this gentleman said, you know, just you read this little booklet. I felt a nudge in my side, and I said, shh, you don't, this is good. Punch again, and then in a minute, I leaned over, and my wife says, that's the little book I've been reading. Well, anyway, the gentleman said, now, we're going to ask you to go home, and before you come back tomorrow evening, we want you to read this little book to someone. I thought, well, I will do it. It won't work, but I will, you know. And so I went, I immediately went back to the little area where I was pastoring and living, and I went into the first home, and the lady explained to me, well, I was brought up in the Catholic Church, and, you know, I have different ideas, and I thought, this is not, she's not going to understand this. And then she began to weep. She said, that is so true. She said, let me think about it. I'll come back later. I want to talk about this. And I thought, wow, she understood that. So I went to the next home, and the lady was at home. The husband was not. She had five children. And I said, may I read this little booklet to you? And she said, sure. And I started reading it through. And we got down to the last page, to a little prayer that, or some words you might say to God. And I look over, and tears are just flowing down this lady's face. I thought, where did that come from? You know, that God is working in her heart. And I said, would you like to pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart? She said, I sure would. She did. And the short of that was that shortly after that, I baptized her, her husband, the five children, all of them, whole family. Well, now, this is in one day, and I'm excited now, you know. So I thought, well, I'm going to, this is good. I'm going to see what God is doing here. So I stopped at Joe Mullen's house, and Joe had three children, his wife, and I went in, and I said, Joe, I want to read this little book to you. And he said, all right. And I read it to him, and I got down to the end of it, and I said, would you pray this prayer? Would you say something like this to God and ask him to change your life? And Joe said, no, not today. He said, I will in the morning. I'll bring all my family, and we'll all pray that prayer at the church. And for the first time, he came into the church that next morning, all five members of the family. One of them today is a deacon in a Baptist church in Cincinnati. And Joe's gone on to be with the Lord. But God was working in their lives. It was so simple. And in the years that passed, we had events like your block parties and things of that nature and other events. I saw people who had never had the opportunity to share their faith with anyone lead 10, 20 people in a single evening to accept Christ. Many of them in tears. Some of them were baptized in that church. Many of them were baptized in other churches. We heard from people in three states who would come to those events and bring their friends back and say, this is where it happened for me. This is where my life changed. And how simple was it, the significance of it? Each one. Just taking the time and saying to someone with whom you have a relationship or a friendship, as a worker, co-worker, a family member, neighbor, someone in your family, let me read this little booklet to you and you tell me what you think. And seeing people have the opportunity to respond to the hope and joy of Jesus Christ in their lives. Now, here's the final point of that. In making the main thing, would you take one of those little booklets this morning? I've got several of them here right along the front. Just would you take one of those? Not as just to say, well, I'll go take one and I'll put it on in the back of my Bible. But I've got, you know, the Lord's spoken to my heart. There's somebody I want to read that to. If nothing else, you just say to that person, you know what our pastor asked me to do this week? He asked me to read this little book to somebody. And can I read it to you? And you read it to them. Whatever it takes or wherever you go. You say, well, I don't know anybody I could talk to. My goodness, we're going to have Bible school this week. I mean, there are going to be dozens of little boys and girls around. But it's not them, it's their parents too. It's the folks up and down the streets. It's people you work with. Just sharing the hope and joy of Jesus with them. In a few moments after we pray, I'm going to ask you if you would come while we're singing after our prayer, just come and take one of these little booklets, and because the Lord is speaking to your heart, and say, I'm going to share that with, I will share that with someone. And then I want you to come back next week, next Sunday, and we'll just take time for you to tell your story. I've told you two or three of mine this morning about sharing this little booklet with someone. And I tell you what I'm going to do. The very first thing, I'm going to take one of these myself. And I am committing myself this week. I'm going to read this booklet to at least one, maybe more people this week and just see what God is doing. Someone said, well, I don't know if I would be successful. Someone told Billy Graham that one time, and Dr. Graham said this. He said, sharing, being successful as a witness for Christ is sharing the good news of Jesus and leaving the results to God. Here's the good news. Share it. Leave the results to God. That's success. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts today. Thank you, Lord, for showing us a simple way how each one can reach one, how we can be like a Bill or a Tom, or we can just be ourselves by sharing with others the hope and joy of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would reach out and touch our hearts today. I take this little piece of paper, Lord, with a commitment in my heart to share it with someone else this week and to pray that your Holy Spirit would allow me the joy of seeing what you're doing in their life right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, while we're waiting, whilst you're considering what you will do, I'm going to ask that you join us in singing together our final song, and you'll find some of these little tracts, the little gospel presentations along the front there. And if you'll come, take one of them with you, share it if you choose to do that. It's such a simple thing. I just get this vision of Big Spring Church with people who are becoming like Bill or becoming like Tom or Tony or Beverly or something like that. I mean, just letting God work in your heart and your life. Let's stand together and sing. You come, respond. And if it's for you to receive Christ as your Savior, just step aside and say, I want to be that one today that follows Jesus.
Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. Change my heart, oh I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true.
Your first name is Tammy. I won't do that, Tammy.
Change my heart, O God.
Do you have peace with God? Know that Jesus lives in your heart.
May I be like you.
I want to get by and visit with you sometime. Let's do it.
You are the potter. I am the clay.
I know she carries a burden in her heart and her life. Lord, I know that you are the burden bearer.
Hold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
Amen. I tell you what, I can't wait to get back here next Sunday morning. You can come during the week and say, well, yeah, I read the booklet. I read that little tract. I read that to someone. Just share what God did. That doesn't necessarily mean that, I only had this happen, and I've been doing this a long, long, long time. I think one time years ago, and I know why it happened, but I said the wrong thing at the wrong time, and someone told me, says, I don't want to hear any of that kind of thing. But in all the years, people have said thank you, or yes, or, people want to know the Lord.
Amen.
One of the biggest, right now, the trend, according to all of the, the polls and the things out there, the trend among people today is how do I have peace with God? How do I have a home in heaven? That's what people want to know. Now, whether they will accept that and follow that, I don't know, but that's what people want to know. That's what people are talking about. It may not be on primetime TV, but I'm telling you, in primetime life, it is. Thank you so much for your presence. Won't you be seated just a second longer? And we've got one more thing I want us to do before we leave. Thank you so much for being with us today. Our guests, we are so glad that you could be with us today, share this time together. Be praying for all of you who go out this week with this little piece of paper in hand. You may have a husband, you may have a family member, a wife, a child, someone somewhere, neighbor, friend. You could even meet a stranger sitting on a park bench and say, look what my pastor asked me to read to somebody this week. Can I read this to you? Hey, it'll work. Anything will work if you do it.